Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 and H1 FY25 earnings conference call of VIP Industries Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing the star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Pratik Patil from Adfactors PR, Investor Relations Team. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Steve. A very good afternoon to everyone, and welcome to the Q2 and H1 FY25 earnings call of VIP Industries Limited. From the senior management, we have with us Ms. Neetu Kashiramka, Managing Director, and Mr. Manish Desai, Chief Financial Officer. Before we begin the conference call, I would like to mention that some of the statements made during the course of today's call may be forward-looking in nature, including those related to the future financials and operating performances, benefits, and synergies of the company's strategy, future opportunities, and growth of the market of the company's services. Further, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's conference call may involve risk and uncertainties. Thank you, and over to you, Ms. Neetu Kashiramka.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for joining the call. We just announced our second quarter results yesterday. So before we get into the revenue and profitability, I would like to give you two, three highlights, which are the positives for the quarter and H1. So basically, in the past 6 months, we have been able to reduce our inventory by 174 crores. Also, our market share has improved. So 2 quarters ago, our market share between the three organized players had reached 36%. Today, it stands at 40%. And for this quarter, we are yet to get the numbers, but I'm quite confident that even this quarter, we will gain some market share. Moving on to quarter two P&L performance, while revenue value growth remains flat, volume growth stands at 18% for the quarter, and for H1, it is at 14.4%. Moving to quarter two P&L performance, so overall revenue growth for the quarter was muted, mainly due to low offtake from the traditional channels due to aggressive pricing by e-commerce during Big Billion Day and Goat Sale. If you have to talk about channel-wise performance, e-commerce continued to do a good performance at 54% growth. Offline channel, as I said, was under pressure. Institution, again, showed a 40% plus growth for quarter two and similar for H1 as well. International business mainly suffered due to underperformance of key countries in Asia and GCC. So our major sale actually in the international market is to these two continents, and therefore their growth is under pressure, and so for us. Value segment continued its growth trajectory, which was driven by e-commerce sales. Lower end continues to grow better. However, 50% of the portfolio still is premium and mid-premium. Carlton actually showed good growth, so premiumization agenda on the back of Carlton is showing a positive response. VIP also grew. Skybags is a brand which did not show a positive growth, mainly on account of lower mix of backpack. In case of ladies handbag, Kiara collection did well, and now we are going ahead in ladies handbag with GT expansion. I think going forward, this will definitely show good growth. Hard luggage again continued to be the fastest growing category, contributing to over 60% of the organization overall revenue. If you look at gross margin, I think this is where the major pressure was. However, sequentially it grew by 80 bips. But if you look at year on year, there is a dip of 1000 basis points, mainly on account of brand mix and channel mix, also coupled with soft luggage inventory reduction and lower production at Bangladesh. And EBITDA got impacted due to lower GCs. and other expenses was higher, mainly account of warehousing cost because of high inventory. I understand that the transformation journey, as we spoke, is showing slow visible improvements in spite of a lot of work happening across each area. I'm quite confident that result of these initiatives will start to be visible starting quarter three, and more so improving our profitability for H2 as promised earlier as well. If I have to talk about demand indicators, it looks fine with festival around and also upcoming wedding dates, which also looks to be very strong in quarter three and a part in quarter four. We are steadfast in our transformation journey, successful results of which will start showcasing in the upcoming quarters. Bangladesh factory is now running full-fledged, and from quarter three onwards, it will also start showing profits. New launches of backpack for the new upcoming season is also on track, and hopefully this will start giving better results to our revenues. Some of the initiatives to also launch some products in VIP and Skybag will start to increase gross margins. There are multiple initiatives which are happening across each area specifically to improve our gross margins. I think it will start to see in quarter three onwards. With this, I conclude my opening remarks and open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Tejas Shah from Avendus Spark Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Ma'am, first question is, as you called out in your opening remarks also, we have clearly made good progress in gaining market share. But it has come at the cost of profitability. Even in this quarter on YOY basis, there's a sizable shrinkage. So how do you plan to manage this balance between kind of gaining market share versus going back to our gross margin profitability?
So two things. One, we have taken certain calls for selling at a lower price, mainly because we were stuck with huge stocks. It's not that we want to do this on an ongoing basis. Second, our trust on VIP brand will start to increase soon. So that is the another initiatives which we are doing so that our margins can improve. So the gross margin difference between a aristocrat and a VIP is more than 800 basis points. So slowly you will see that our focus is more on VIP versus aristocrat, especially in offline channel.
So ma'am, if I have to narrow down the problem statement, there is a certain proportion of slow moving inventory which we are liquidating at slightly lesser margin, and that inventory is largely pertaining to aristocrat and alpha, and once that is done away with, margin should revert back. Is that the right understanding?
Yes, you are perfectly right. As I had promised, our gross margin should definitely be around 50%.
Okay. So there is one visible change in our mix is also channel-led margin shrinkage, which is definitely online and institutional business are now having higher saliency. So do you see that fourth quarter where the economics of this channels will change, or their contribution in overall revenue will change or go down, hence will margins will go back to normal level?
It's a mix of both. Quarter two generally is a high e-com quarter because all these big billion days and growth is scheduled here. And quarter two is always high on e-commerce. However, H2 will be, as a percentage of overall saliency, e-commerce share will come down in quarter three, quarter four. But we are also having initiatives whereby our e-commerce margin has to improve, and that's also some work in progress.
Okay. And ma'am, this pressure on pricing, are we the source or are we responding to competitive pressure? Because we had some slow moving inventory, hence we are cutting prices, that is dragging down margins for the industry, or we are responding to some competitive pressure?
I think we are doing this for our soft luggage liquidation. However, in the other areas, which is hard luggage, also there is a pricing pressure, which is we are reacting to multiple things. It's not only one thing, but see, there is also a lot of D2C players which are coming into the market, right, and starting to sell. Now, all these players have enough money to burn, which we don't have. So that's where we are little bit playing on the pricing.
Just to add what MD said, where the competition becomes intense, price is the one point which plays a larger role in minds of the consumers, and it impacts the most to the organized and the incumbent players. So this is the outcome of that, what we are seeing. But I'm sure that over a period of time, the industry or the players may see a consolidation and things comes to a level playing field among the remaining players in the industry.
Also, as I told you, we want to focus more on VIP. So even if I have to reduce a little bit price on VIP, that is better because my realization will be higher and profitability will be higher.
Sure. No, ma'am. So my question was largely around that with 40% plus market share, the pricing discipline should come from us, and the D2C players which you called out, I still think that there'll be less than 5% market share overall. So respond, and most of those players are actually very at different price point, perhaps competing with Carlton and likes on the price point. So I was just wondering that, we also picked up from media news that one of the competitors also kind of indicated that the market leader is kind of very aggressive on pricing, and that's shrinking the profit pool. So I was just trying to understand that once we are done with this whole pressure on slow-moving inventory, should we build a very normal margin expansion for us and the industry at large?
Yes, you're right. That is what we'll be doing.
Okay. And then last one, you also called out inventory holding costs for last 4 or 5 quarters. That is a drag on overheads. So we have done a phenomenal job on reducing inventory in last 3-4 quarters. So have we reached to a stage of inventory where the holding cost will go back to the normal level, or is it still at a higher end?
One more quarter to get to the normal level.
Okay. That's all from my side, ma'am. I'll come back in the queue. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jinesh Joshi from PL Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Madam, I have a question on our channel mix. So if I look at e-com with a 45% share, we have done really well in this quarter. But if I look at our share of GT and MT at about 11 and 18%, it is at a 5-year low. And you mentioned in your opening commentary that aggressive pricing in online is impacting our offtake in the offline trade. So just wanted to understand the thought process behind this move, because essentially this has created a channel conflict it seems. So what's the thought process behind such kind of aggressive pricing in the online channel, and how do you plan to resolve this?
So one, aggressive pricing on the e-commerce channel is not done by us. It is done by the portals. So 2-3 things we are doing. We are going to give additional warranty for offline players. Second, we are also looking at having a pricing guardrail, especially for VIP brands on online portal. Otherwise, we don't sell to the online portals the VIP product. So these are two big initiatives which we have taken to reduce this conflict, channel conflict. And so the share is actually reduced because last 15 days they almost did not buy because of this. And then we met everybody. We have sent letters and we have made these two changes with which they have started buying from the first week of October.
But madam, if the portal is governing the price and if it is discounting heavily, then obviously your brand equity takes a big hit. So what are our thoughts on that? And do we have some plan in place that from 3Q onwards, this will not...
It will be a pricing guardrail for VIP and Skybags, which is a premium brand. They cannot sell below a particular MOP. A similar thing which had happened some 3-4 years back in the mobile industry, I think that's where we are heading towards. And we are already in talks with them to give this to us in writing before we sell going forward.
And furthermore, to add, quarter two, as earlier said, it's an e-com led quarter. That's why you're seeing the higher share of business. If I look into the YTD H1, it is hovering around 30 to 35, in line with the industry presence revenue e-commerce portals. We would like to maintain those kind of revenue share. And our objective is to have all channels working in our favor, not growing at the cost of the others.
Got that. One last question from my side. So if I look at our inventory liquidation in this quarter, it was at about 40 crores, and this is lower than what it was in the previous quarter. Now, given the pileup that we have, especially on the soft luggage side, can you quantify what is the current slow-moving SL inventory on the balance sheet, and by when can we expect full liquidation to happen?
So the entire liquidation is set. We need one or one more quarter to look into it. In terms of the overall inventory, 50 crores got reduced in this quarter too, especially. Largely, we have to manufacture some of the items because of the e-com specific SKUs. Otherwise, my liquidation would have been much on a higher side.
But can you quantify what is the slow-moving SL quantum currently that we have?
SL quantum in terms of the value numbers or the volume-wise, we are carrying around almost 5 lakh units of the soft luggage upright. And if I take the backpack and duffel also to some part of it, maybe around put together all units will come around 7 to 8 lakh units together.
Sir, I want the value number, sorry, because if I remember right, that quantum was 300 crores sometime back, and in the last quarter, we did a liquidation of about 80 crores. So what is the current quantum?
So current quantum would be somewhere in the range of 180 odd crores. But I'll reconfirm to you once we progress in the course. Just give me a minute.
Sure, and in that context, I mean, especially our debt levels, which is at about 500 crores, given we have about 180 crores, which is yet to be liquidated, and this would mean that the working capital requirements will be high, will we still be able to reduce our debt by about 250 crores that we had stated in our earlier call?
So if you recollect earlier conversation, we planned for 100 odd crores of reduction, and out of that, we already done 35 crores, so we are on the track. And hopefully we'll meet our targets. We hopefully to go exceed about the 100 crores, but 100 crores is given what we are targeting right now. And we'll adhere
to it. Okay, so we should be at about 400 crores in terms of debt by end of FY25.
Yes. If I net off the investments, what you see in the balance sheet, it will again further give me enough cushion for me to play around with this.
Sure. Thank you so much and all the best.
I'll come back to you on the numbers 2 minutes.
Yeah, that 180 crores, if you can clarify, I mean, whenever. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shirish Pardeshi from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Neetu and Mr. Desai. Just two questions in the beginning. You mentioned that 18% volume growth in Q2. Can you quantify the number of pieces we have sold? And specific question here is that if I look at the contribution from the e-commerce is 45% at this time, so what is the volume contribution from e-commerce and modern trade?
Overall sale volume is 44 lakhs.
It's a 4.4 million units on the overall volume for the quarter two, registering a growth of around 18%. And if I want to go on, because average selling price between MT and e-com largely remains the same, so it goes as per the revenue growth or the revenue mix we have in terms of the volume as well.
So you're saying similar number for volume also?
Slightly, I said ki, because my MT has didn't do so well, it has slightly a degrowth, whereas e-com has given a growth of 45%.
Okay. The second question on the overall momentum, as Neetu, you mentioned that second half the saliency for e-commerce will be lower. But then in that respect, how the second half volume growth and revenue growth looks like for you?
So basically today if you see our volume growth is 18% versus a value growth of zero. In case of second half, I'm confident that our volume growth and value growth difference should not be 18, but it should be around 8 to 10%, between 8 to 10%.
And if that is true, and or it if it happens, what kind of margin, gross margin, you already mentioned that you will maintain at
50%. I mentioned that quarter four gross margin should be 50%.
Okay. No, I'm coming on the operating margin, because right now when you look at the margins are collapsed.
Yes.
I'm sorry using this word. But then you know what are the things at the back end you are doing. So at least if you believe that 50% mark you have achieved in terms of revolutionizing the entire the front end and the back end, what kind of operating margin we should build in second half?
So are you talking about the gross margin or the EBITDA margin?
The gross, Neetu already clarified 50%, but I'm talking about EBITDA.
EBITDA margin of 12% for the quarter four.
Second half, I said, Neetu.
Second half should.
So second, as you see, it's a journey we have to progress. So probably from the 0% of EBITDA margin, we will move around 3 to 4% to be a quarter three, and you find a significant jump getting into the quarter four. Because by then, my most of the initiatives will be started giving the results out of it.
So therefore, the follow-up here is that what are the drivers? What are the top 2-3 things which will help you to achieve this number?
So one, improvement in realization. Then, which will in turn also add to the gross margin. So, gross margin improvement of 5%, which we spoke about. Then, every line item in the cost we have already worked upon. And everything to come into the P&L, it takes 3 to 4 months. So, that is where it is. So, warehousing, people, then what is the other big one?
You have the rental cost.
Yeah.
Fixed overheads and the other
cost, direct costs. Each and every line, actually.
The last question from my side on the depreciation and interest cost. What number we should be factoring, because even this quarter we have seen a depreciation has increased almost 24% and similar number, double-digit growth in the interest cost. So you know the numbers well. You are saying that 100 crore reduction which will happen in debt. But what is the interest cost we should build in for the full year and depreciation cost?
So, Chief, interest cost comprises of two factors. One thing is my fund-based borrowing, which I'm doing from bank. Another thing includes in some of my structured way of financing I'm doing on vendors as well as from the customer side. On a bank borrowing side, definitely you'll find a good amount of reduction happening. And in terms of the structure finance, it almost remains. So you can assume the same level of interest going is in quarter three. Quarter four, you may find a reduction of almost 10 to 12% than what you're seeing today. In the overall value.
And in terms of depreciation?
Depreciation should remain as, because we are expanding on our stores, but I'm sure we are taking certain calls on based on the same sales store growth of the existing CRN. So you should find same number, hardly leaving aside 5 to 6 crores, maybe exit March for that matter, or the exit quarter four on a higher side.
So just to confirm what you've said, that if that is the number which you are building, so will we be able to maintain the profitability what we delivered in FY24, or we will still book some loss at the quarter?
FY24, when I'm saying EBITDA improvement of 12% on turnover, so I should be able to delivering net result also on a positive one.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
And since you asked for the growth, sorry, I missed out on that question. I wrongly interpreted. So on a volume side, the MT actually has seen a degrowth of 8% on volume. And the e-commerce on a volume front has shown a growth of 73% for the quarter two.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. And Tejas, on the inventory side, what you asked the question to me, we have moved around what we had in terms of soft upright inventory of 130 odd crores in Garrett, less than 100 crores in September.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ritesh Shah from Investec. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, ma'am. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, ma'am, I have a very simple question. You did indicate the concern around competitive intensity, and by design, we are looking to liquidate the inventory, specifically on the soft luggage side. If one had to take a 12 to 18 month tenure, what is the thought process on balancing growth and profitable growth? How do you approach it from an incremental ROC standpoint? Broader thoughts would be greatly appreciated, Mark.
See, this year, I think all this cleanup of inventory is a must because I can't hold it because my warehouse costs keep bloating if I keep this inventory. Also, if I keep it for a long, there are chances of having to take some write-offs. And therefore, this was inevitable for me to take these calls at this point of time. However, for the next year, I think we don't want to compromise on profitability at the cost of gaining market share. That's very clear for us. But yeah, one or two more quarters where I get to a reasonable inventory level. Today also inventory level is 700 crores. Once I reach 500 crores of inventory, I think that is where I will start focusing more on profits than market share gains.
Right, ma'am, just to press a little bit over here, you indicated profitability is something which we would not compromise, but market share could be a challenge because D2C guys operate in a different way. How are we looking to balance the portfolio, be it from a channel standpoint or from a mix standpoint, to ensure that we have profitability and market share, actually, we can actually inch up on that particular variable as well?
When I'm talking about market share, there is no buddy who is tracking the market share for this industry today. And the way we look at it is three company market share, which is the three organized players who are listed and the data is available in the public domain. That is one. So basically, market share increase between these three players is what we have been talking about. Secondly, we definitely are looking at increasing our premium portfolio. So today, which is around 54%, my aim will be that to reach 60% over the next 3 to 4 quarters. And that is where the profits will have a meaningful swing. Because it's an 800 to 1000 basis point gap between a gross margin for a Aristocrat versus VIP or Skybag or Carlton. So that is going to be the strategy going forward. Once I'm done away with this heavy inventory. Which is
Ma'am, you said it will take a quarter or two for this?
Yes, maximum 2 quarters. We are trying to do best in the quarter three. Whatever best we can do in quarter three.
Sure. And last question, ma'am, if you can just refresh us on how BCG is actually helping us right now, and are all those initiatives already in play, or how are you thinking of probably their recommendations, or is it like we are on the same track? How should we look at that?
BCG project is a 15-month project. It is divided into 5 waves, 3-month wave each. 2 waves are over. We are in the 3rd wave. Whatever work we have done in the first 2 waves, the result will start from October. And then additional 3rd wave, 4th wave, 5th wave. Overall, it's a 250 crore benefit to the bottom line project. And we are on track. This is the projected waves. But as I said, whatever we do in today will take 3 months to come into the P&L. So now the wave 1 and wave 2 benefits will start to come in October. And then wave 3 we will work now, which the impact will come in quarter 4. And whatever we do in quarter 4, the benefit will come in quarter 1.
Ma'am, possible to share...
The project will get over also.
Correct. Ma'am, possible to share what were the tangibles that one can actually look out in the marketplace as benefits of wave 1 and 2?
So wave one. So this project is basically a cost takeout. So improving the realization, reducing the cost, and each and every line item, basically warehousing, logistics, improvement in the fill rate, people cost. So we are also mapping the org structure, because if you look at our employee cost versus the employee cost of any other industry, similar industry, we are off. So that's another big thing. And the actions have already happened in September, so the result of that will start to be visible in December, January. Because everything has a notice period, and by the time we execute, it takes 2 to 3 months.
Perfect. Ma'am, can I squeeze in one more question?
Yes. But 40 to 50 crores, so I know what you want to know. So 40 to 50 crores of the initiatives will come into P&L this year. And more of it in quarter four.
So I can talk about two visible things what you asked about it. See our sequential gross margin from June 24 to September 24, we differ about 80 basis points. It's a start to have it. Second thing is our employee costs almost remain at the level of June 24. So that's another visible, I would say, about it. Third thing, as I said by MD, it will follow the progressive way what we factored into our project execution.
So next quarter onward, you will see in each line item the benefits.
That's useful. And ma'am, just last question. Anything if you would wish to highlight on the effectiveness of A&P spends, where that number would be for the full year versus last year, and specifically anything specific that we are doing to improve the effectiveness of the spends?
The large part of these spends is actually going into e-commerce, which is not something which is great, but yeah, that's how that is happening across the industry. And we are definitely wanting to improve the effectiveness by spending more on ATL rather than BTL, but today a lot is happening on BTL. But I think that we'll be able to do only in the next year. There is enough on our plate for this year.
That's quite helpful. Thank you so much for the answers. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Surya Narayan from Snooty Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, ma'am, for giving me opportunity. Just most of the questions have been answered.
Could you please use your handset?
Okay, yeah.
Am I audible?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So thank you, ma'am, for giving me opportunity. So some of the questions have been answered. So one pertinent question, actually, you have my question is around the gross margin level. So we are, let's say, last 3 years average around 51%, and you are down at around 45%. So here the question is that you have been, time and again, you are telling one thing, is that you want to play more on the VIP side and less on the aristocrat side. But aristocrat has been a very essential element of VIP. So how can we sever the growth of aristocrat, because that is a mass brand. So if you can give some color as to how the things will be moving towards the VIP or Carlton premium side rather than aristocrat side, so that the realizations will improve and so as the gross margins.
So we are not saying that we will restrict the growth of aristocrat. We are saying that we will grow more VIP Skybags. So that is where it will happen. So aristocrat growth will happen, but today VIP Skybags is not growing as much as it should grow. That is where we will do more work. I can give you an example. Today if VIP, so lot of, almost 30-35% of the sale now is happening in three-piece set in aristocrat. Now in VIP we are planning that if in aristocrat, I'm selling a three-piece set at 7,000 rupees and VIP today is 12,000, I might look at selling a VIP three-piece set at 10,000. So therefore, I will increase my realization from 7,000 to 10,000, and that is what the focus will be. And that's how I can get more margins.
Okay.
I just gave you one example. I cannot discuss too much on my strategy here, but similar to these, we are looking at doing certain initiatives whereby I can improve my realization.
But still, some sort of cannibalization impact would be there on a longer-term basis. You agree?
Which is fine, which is beneficial for the organization. So if I am able to extract 3,000 rupees more from the same customer, why not?
Okay. And second thing is that your payables have reduced, and so I am expecting that maybe you could be getting bigger bargains from your supply chains of people. So what is the scenario going forward? Whether such kind of payables reduction in the payable will be continuing, so that we will be getting more discounts, and that will be on the raw material side. So that will be
basically
the gross margin.
If you see, during March we were very high on debt and inventory, and we did not pay our creditors on time. However, we have started paying them on time now. So it will be in the same range if you have to calculate by number of days.
Okay. And you earlier said that around 200 crores. Now you are reducing the figures to 100 crores of reduction in the total debt for this year.
So for sure we can do better.
580 crores we had a debt as on March 24. What we said is 100 crores given by reduction in by March 25. A minimum reduction what we are aiming for in the overall debt.
And regarding the Bangladesh claim, it has come very little. So when can we expect major claims? So are you just, if we can indicate which quarter the company, insurance companies have given any indications?
They have not given any indication. We have been following up, and we are getting small amount. Quarter three also we are expecting 5 crore further. We know the political scenario of Bangladesh, so I don't want to say that give me everything at one. I may not get this also. So today,
in the Ghaziabad case, we had to suffer a loss of around 7.5 crores. So because of the political uncertainty in the Bangladesh, are we fearing such kind of losses in a bigger way in case of
We have been in talks with the insurance company almost every 2 weeks. Somebody from my office is visiting. It's a big focus area for us, and that is why we are getting at least those small amounts.
So at least you have to appreciate that despite this kind of unrest situation, we
something
could give the 5 crores in. Another 5 crores, what we discussed, is in the pipeline. And hopefully the entire claim should settle in the next maybe 8 to 12 months down the line.
And now that you are saying that the Bangladesh operation... Just last question, sir, if you can allow. Yeah, so the Bangladesh, now the operations is fully there. So whether the manpower growth will be increasing, because the reports were saying that the wage hike was there. So is there any chance of rise in the our wage cost?
No. So we have reduced our capacities already there. In fact, we want... at this point of time, a little bit reduction only. It won't increase from where it is today.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jigar Jani from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, Jigar.
Sorry. Thank you for taking my question. Couple of them. One is on the oxygen side. So if I...
your voice is not very clear. Yeah, it's disturbed.
This is better, ma'am? Hello?
Yeah, better. Once you...
Yeah, so what I was asking was on the gross margin side, I believe that the gross margin guidance... we were giving for FY26 was 55%. So this would be more exit FY26?
Should exit?
H2.
Exit quarter.
H2 Yeah.
So we said quarter four you will find such kind of improvement. And we're
talking of FY26.
FY26, huh? Full year, quite possible.
Full year FY26, we should be able to do 55.
Sir,
if you could just give me some color on this 190 crores of other expenses, what is the split of this broad numbers of these 190 crores of other expenses in the quarter, and what number can we expect in Q4? Because I believe Q3 still it will remain elevated at similar levels because of the inventory that we are carrying. But Q4, given that we have that initiative with BCG also running in, and we will see some benefits floating in. So what could these numbers...
given in the analyst presentation.
So we did give some kind of breakup in the presentation, what we did, what we have uploaded. If anything remains unanswered over there, we can have a separate call on this matter.
Sure, sure. And what would be our guidance for this? I mean, how do we see these numbers panning out in Q3 and Q4?
So, as I said, we are target to reach EBITDA of 12%. So, every cost structure has to undergo revisiting and optimizing it. So, we'll not give you head-by-head the what we have in mind, but keeping trust on that of 12% EBITDA, what we are driving for.
Okay, understood. Okay, thank you so much for answering my question.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Manish Desai from VIP Industries Limited for their closing comments.
Yeah. So, thanks everyone for participating in this call. I'm sure that some of the answers or some of the questions would have remained unanswered. We are just a phone call away, leaving aside the next 3 hours because we have certain work to do it. But I'm happy to answer each one of your call, and I'm thankful of your continuous support to the company, and we are hopeful of doing in line with our projections and expectations what we have in our mind. Thank you very much, and have a great day to all of you.
On behalf of VIP Industries Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.